Ay bobo. Welcome to the Agua Cerrito podcast show, where we honor the divine, spark personal liberation, and deconstruct Haitian voodoo. I'm your host, Knowledge, also known as Konef Kife. Every episode is a digital offering to the sacred spirits, ancestors, and vibrant culture of Haitian voodoo. Through storytelling, interviews, and reflections, we will explore its roots, its power, and its impact. Voodoo is more than spirituality. It is life, legacy, and liberation. Aibobo. Welcome to Aguacerito Podcast Show. In today's episode, we are going to explore the cosmology, the ideology, the theology behind Vodou. What are the principles that really embody this religion? And so before we get started, I always like to begin our episodes, you know, with the right intention, the right reflection. So we're going to begin with a little bit of grounding and prayer, as we usually do. So let's start with breath. Let's breathe together three times today. Inhale love. And exhale fear. Inhale peace. And exhale worries. Inhale abundance. And exhale lack. Allow your breath to align with your heartbeat. Greetings to Almighty God. Thank you for the breath of life. Greetings to all of the divine saints and angels. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Greetings to the ancestral spirits in the east, the west, the north, and the south. Greetings to all the ancestral spirits of the earth, of water, of air, and of fire, both known and unknown. Greetings to the ancestral spirits of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, and our great-grandparents and beyond, both near and far. Greetings to all of our ancestors. Thank you for bringing us together, both near and far. We are asking for your support and guidance in this moment. Thank you for the wisdom and the ongoing learning that we are all collectively on. We are giving gratitude and thanks to all of the ancestors of our listeners receiving the messages of this episode right now. Greetings to you, our esteemed listeners. Thank you for the thread that connects us as brothers and sisters on this earthly realm. Thank you for the moment to be in community with each and every one of you. We ask to enlighten and empower our listeners with light, wisdom, and knowledge. We ask to liberate our hearts and our minds in order to connect with the divine. We ask that whatever is needed from this episode be met. We ask that whatever guidance that needs to be shared is shared and understood in this episode. We ask that whatever lessons need to be learned, be learned. Aibobo, ago ago, bo, asao, alaso, awoshenago, javodo, afutai, bilolo. So before we get started in today's show, I'm super thrilled to share that we actually received our first email from our new emerging listener community. That was such a thrill to see. I was kind of quite surprised because we literally just started this podcast. And so to be able to check the podcast email and it not be like just spam That was such a gift. But I wanted to read it out loud and answer the question that this listener shared with us. So the email writes, "Dear Aguacerito, love the show. Much needed. I noticed that you say a phrase in Creole at the beginning of your opening and closing prayer. What does that phrase mean? Keep up the great work." So thank you, listener, for this specific question. What I say in terms of those words. So for other listeners that are, you know, maybe tuning in for this is your first episode, usually typically after my prayers, I kind of say the prayer in English and then I say a string of words. So you may hear me say like Aibobo, Ago Ago, Bo, Asaho, etc., etc. So each of those terms that I say, they are a collection of affirmations or acknowledgments. So kind of think of them similar, like let's say if we were to compare it to like a westernized perspective, if someone says amen, right? And amen means like so be it, or it is so. And let's say in the Yoruba tradition, for example, you may hear people use the word ashe, which also means so it be, or be it so. It's a series of different affirmations. And so similar to kind of the amen or ashe, we use these different collections of words in ceremony. We use them in prayers, as I've been doing on the show. We may also use them in rituals, and they really are to signify like how we agree, we accept, we honor the laws. Aibobo is the most commonly used affirmation and most widely accepted affirmation. But the other terms, or the other, like, you know, the other kind of phrases I share are also affirmations that represent different nations. So there's what we call like nations or nations within the Vodou pantheon. I think it's probably going to make sense that I do an episode, maybe like a Tilimia, where I can break down what are the associated like nations or laws that are associated with each of the affirmations that I share. I think I may do that just so like it kind of helps bring a little bit more clarity. But because we haven't spoke about the laws, which we're going to do later this season, we haven't spoke about the various different pantheons or nations. I think what I'm going to do is, you know, once we do our episode later in the season where we do break these terms down, I will either address these affirmations during those episodes, or like I said, create a tilimia that like in a bonus episode to cover it. But either way, we're going to talk about it this season. But I thank you so much for that email. That was like, again, so exciting to receive that email. And I want to welcome all of you. Should you have questions, you know, that was a great first question to receive. But if you have questions like that as you're listening to the show, you know, and you want to kind of have a little bit more insight, please send your emails to aguacerito@gmail.com, right? So just as the show is spelled, AGUACEDITO, okay? So just send us, shoot us an email, aguacerito@gmail.com. I will check the email and I would, I'll make sure to respond, and, we'll make sure that, you know, the questions that you ask as well, if it makes sense, we're going to also answer them in an upcoming episode. All right. So wanted to share that again. That was really super exciting. Okay. So we're going to talk about, the principles of Vodou, the cosmology, theology. So this is going to be a very, what I call a grounding episode, right? Haitian Vodou is so much more than a religion. And I think I've mentioned that a couple different times, right? It is a way of knowing and being in the world. And I think it's for folks like myself, you know, Vodou is a way of life. So some people may call it a practice. Some people call it a tradition. Others call it a religion. I consider it all of the above plus a way of life. It's just kind of my worldview is from that specific lens. And that's because at its core, Vodou is rooted in ancestral memory, it's rooted in oral traditions, and it has an unwavering connection back to the African African continent. Practitioners typically view, let's say, like the cosmos, or like, you know, cosmos from a Vodou lens, as kind of a, you know, interconnected sacred web, right? And so, you know, we typically see the world where everything is connected. Everything is alive, whether we're talking about, spirits in the spiritual realm, we're talking about humans in the earthly realm, we're even talking about things like animals or plants, we're talking about the elements like water and fire. Our belief is that everything is alive and imbued with some angle within incorporating divine energy, right? And that's kind of like how I want to kick off how we talk about Vodou, whether we're calling it a tradition, we're calling it a spiritual practice, or we're calling it a religion, right? That's the premise, because it goes back to the fact, as I mentioned in the last episode, that the word Vodou itself means spirit. So being able to see the entire world as interconnected is an important core value. And I think for this episode, just to kind of create a little structure to it, I decided to create what I call kind of 12 core principles that are fundamental, not only within Vodou cosmology, but also just in terms of, there's a direct connection also to just African spirituality, right? So African spirituality and Vodou cosmology, in my humble opinion, are kind of parallel. They're interconnected. And we know just from the last episode that Vodoun, that, you know, kind of was transformed into Haitian Vodou after the transatlantic slave trade, there has been some nuances of the cosmology as a result, which is why I'm calling them two distinct things, right? I'm calling African spirituality is one and Vodou cosmology is the other, but in theory, they are interconnected. They are not separate, okay? So I just want to kind of share that as like a high level way to kind of think about this. Okay. And so as I kind of thought about, like, you know, what are some of the key principles that are core to this practice? I came up with these principles. They are in no particular order. There's not one that, let's say, necessarily outweighs the other. But they are what they are. And so, I'm going to go through them, and chances are, again, I'm kind of speaking about this from my lens, but chances are there may be other core principles. There may be others that I may have forgotten, or others that people are aware of. So I'm not going to say that these are the only, again, this is not absolute doctrine, but this is an interpretation, let's just say, okay? So we're going to kick it off. We're going to start with principle one. So just in terms of, you know, if we think about theologically, Vodou is a fusion of African, Roman Catholic, and indigenous roots, specifically Taino roots, right? That is, I'm going to use the word, that is typically henotheistic in nature. So when we say henotheistic, what does that mean, right? Many Western religions are what I would call monotheistic, right? That means that in many Western religions, there typically is, you know, most people that follow Western religions typically believe in one universal God, right? And the Christians call this sometimes the God of the Bible, right? So to be monotheistic is to believe in one universal God and no other deities or spirits. When we think about henotheism is really the belief in a supreme God while also acknowledging the existence of other spirits, deities, or other gods, right? And we see those interpretations in other religions. So when we think about Hinduism, or we see certain specific sects in Buddhism, we sometimes see this henotheistic nature, right? And that can be, that's a little different than what individuals may say as polytheistic. So polytheistic is there being kind of the belief of many different gods, and many different gods kind of at the same kind of level, if you will. Henotheism is the belief, okay, there is a central supreme being, and beneath, like kind of beneath or behind that central supreme being are other manifestations of that supreme being, but with different energetic signatures. So hopefully that makes sense. That kind of breaks down like the difference between monotheistic, polytheistic, but then specifically henotheistic. I was really proud last semester. I learned about henotheism, because I always thought Vodou was polytheistic. And then when I heard about Hino, I'm like, you know what? That's probably a more, in my worldview, that's a more accurate depiction of that. And, you know, I talk about Hinduism and Buddhism. We're going to delve into Vodou from a comparative lens in a future episode. So stay tuned for that. I'm really excited about that episode and that conversation. But, you know, going back to this theological lens, Vodou really revolves around a supreme creator, which in Haitian Creole is known as Bon Dieu. And Bon Dieu is really the source of all life and all existence. However, Bon Dieu in this context is distant and does not interact directly with the world. And so Vodouisans seek to work with Bon Dieu through the laws, or what we call the spirits, who are each associated with different natural forces of nature. And they essentially act as intermediaries within the religion. And these laws and spirits, they govern various aspects of life, of nature, of the cosmos, of the human experience. So it's a very fascinating, however, they all are manifestations of the supreme God. Okay, so that's an important distinction that, again, departs from kind of a westernized view or lens of when we think about God, right? That's principle one. Principle two, I mentioned this before in our past episode, the word Vodou is derived from the Fon language, and it means spirit. And it goes back to this idea that Vodou, everything is spirit. And within that, if we think about the African cosmology, there are essentially three worlds. There's the physical earth realm, there is a spiritual realm, and then there's the underworld. And given that everything is spirit, whether we're talking about spirits on the physical earth realm, which would be us essentially as humans or animals or plants, when we think about the spiritual world, with which many people argue and say that that's our real home, quote unquote. And then you have what's called the underworld, right? And so the underworld, I like to also consider this the spiritual, like the ancestral realm. And so this is where ancestors and certain spirits reside that help influence the material world. So that is true not only in Vodou, but that's also true in just general African cosmology. Why is that important? So, like I mentioned, humans inhabit the physical earth. The laws really live in the unseen world, you know, within what we call the heavenly realm. So the heavenly realm, we'll have the laws. You have what we call angels or zanj. They live in like the heavenly realm. What's also interesting is that within the heavenly realm, and I'm using, you know, the Western term heavenly. In Vodou, we do not use the word heaven. We actually use the word Gine. So Gine is essentially a mythic land that is like the cosmic version of Africa, or like, you know, the equivalent of the concept of heaven. So when we talk about our ancestors, or when we pass on, or where the laws are, we talk about how can we connect back to Guinea, right? And Guinea, again, is heaven. And in addition, like I mentioned, there's the underworld, which is, you know, again, a departure from westernized perspectives, in that the spirits of the ancestors and the recently deceased reside, and certain spirits as well, or laws, reside in the underworld or the astral realm. Okay. So that's an important element, right? Everything's a spirit. The realms are kind of broken up into three parts. Guinea is Africa, is essentially Vodou's equivalent of the concept of heaven. Principle three, we're just talking about the ancestral realm. Ancestral veneration is a foundational concept within Vodou. So Vodouisans, Vodou practitioners, they seek to connect and maintain healthy, harmonious, reciprocal relationships with their ancestors, who then work with the laws in partnership with that individual to support that person's earthly journey, to support their earthly mission. So you are not only working with, you know, where, you know, we believe in a supreme God, we believe in a pantheon, you know, different nations of laws and spirits, each that are associated with a particular element or particular aspect of nature. We then also believe in venerating our ancestors. And we're going to talk about ancestral veneration in a future episode. One note is that ancestral veneration is about honoring your ancestors. It's not about worshiping your ancestors. That's a key distinction and sometimes a misconception. Like I said, we're going to delve into that more further, but that is also a very important principle within Vodou. So sometimes if someone is, you know, maybe thinking about beginning a journey, they're exploring the idea of beginning a journey, you know, into reclaiming their Vodou tradition, or into really seeking Vodou, we always say start with your ancestors. That is that's the safest way of beginning a journey within Vodou, because they are a critical part of your journey, as well as your practice within Vodou. Principle four. So principle four, this one's an interesting one. So Vodou is a decentralized spiritual practice. And again, this is another kind of concept that departs heavily from Western religions. And there's a book, it's called The Faces of God by Leslie Desmanges. But in the book The Faces of God, Professor Desmanges describes this aspect of decentralization perfectly. And I love this quote, which is why I share it here. Vodouisans' names are not listed in the membership roll of a local temple. Their worldview does not allow them to consider religion as a formal organization. Their religion is a way of life. So that was quote unquote. So I think that is such a great quote, and it really summarizes this idea of decentralization. So when we say decentralization, that means in Vodou, there's essentially no centralized governance model. There are no centralized leaders. There are no kind of centralized, you know, widely accepted centralized authoritative figurehead of the religion. Even though in the past 15 years or so, there has been efforts in certain sects, in certain lakus, there's been a call to create more structure. There's been a call to kind of try to organize in certain regions. But for the most part, there is no centralization. And while there are dozens of books about Vodou, about, researching Vodou, there aren't any centralized sacred text. Like when we look at, religions that have, let's say, a Bible or they have the Quran, there is no centralized, sacred text. You may find text at the local level that different lakus or regions have, but there isn't one that's like a widely accepted across the religion. And speaking of lakus, to really put this into framing, if we were to look at a map of Haiti and how the country's like structured, the country's structurally organized, I think this can give us an idea of not only how decentralized Vodou can be, but how vast of the differences it could look like. So for example, take a moment, just go ahead and Google the term map of Haiti or detailed map of Haiti. Take a moment. I'd love for you to do that exercise if you're near your computer while you are listening to this episode. Okay. So if you can do that and take a pause, pause this and then come back to this episode. Okay. And what you will see if you take a look at a map of Haiti, you will notice that there are there are 10 different what we call departments. So think of the departments can maybe be, let's say in the US, how we may consider states or regions, right? So within each department, each of the 10 departments, there are over 42 districts, okay? And then within each of the districts, it further breaks down into like over 146 communes, which communes are kind of like subdivisions of the districts, okay? And if we take those 146 communes or district subdivisions, if we break that down further, there are over 575 communal sections, okay? So that's kind of how Haiti is structured. So there's 10 departments. Within those 10 departments, there are 42 districts. Within those 42 districts, there are 146 communes. And within those 146 communes, there are over 575 communal sections. And if we go back to this idea that Vodou is decentralized, think about it. Practitioners in each, whether it's department, it's the district, it's the commune, it's the communal section in Haiti, have slight nuances in how they practice the faith. So let's say if you take the north, you take a Vodou practitioner in the north, what they call their spirits may be different. How they practice, the colors that they associate to certain spirits, the calendar of let's say spiritual observances, the roles that they play. Imagine that. Imagine all the things that we're going to be talking about over this podcast. Imagine even the name of the spirit or loi may be different depending on the department, the district, the commune, or the communal section. Okay. So it's really interesting at the department level there. If we return to this idea that Vodou is decentralized and that practitioners in each department, district, commune, or communal section have different slightly nuanced ways in how they practice the faith, that is extremely important to understand. So let's just kind of give an example. Let's say if we take Gonaïves, right? So Gonaïves is in La Thibonite, right? That's in the La Thibonite district, which is also its department. How a particular laku may practice or serve their spirits or honor their ancestors may look very different than, let's say, Jacmel, which is in the southeast region, or Plaine du Nord, which is up north. So it may look very different. And I think, with this concept, just to kind of provide additional clarity, it's not a... or it's an and. And when I say that, so it's not that it's decentralized or centralized governance. It's really kind of a combination. So for example, you may have across different, whether it's different departments, different sections, you may have the same names of spirits, and their archetype, you know, their energetic signature is similar. So for example, across Haiti, you know, everyone, regardless of which region or communal section, every Vodouisan knows about Papa Legba, right? Every Vodouisan knows about Ogu. They know about Ezili Freda. They know about Ezili Donto, etc., etc. And so what becomes different is that even though there's kind of a common knowledge or a common set of widely known loas, how those loas are served, even down to sometimes the sub-energetic signature. So some of these laws, they take on various different expressions, and that can also be represented at a more regional or a more kind of a local level. So it's complex, right? It's you'll find in Vodou, there's not necessarily absolutes, right? Or things that are binary, like this or that. It's usually an and. And that shows the intricacy of the interconnectedness across the faith. And that sometimes for someone coming into the faith for the first time, it may take some time to wrap your mind around, to really consider and think about how specific nuances or practices or ideas coexist together. So that's a very, very important aspect. So it's really interesting at the department level there. If we go back up to like the 10 different departments, literally in the 10 different departments, there are hundreds of ancestral and spiritual lakus at that level, each practicing different, you know, different ways. And I think that's really fascinating, right? So it's not just how they perceive the spirits that could be different. It can also be how their ancestors are venerated, how the laku is maintained and structured. So it's safe to say that while, yes, at a meta level, Vodou is decentralized. However, the key, and again, this is my perspective, the key is that there is centralization at the local level. And I go back to the local level because, you know, we talked in the first episode about règlement, right? Règlement is there's a set of strict, complex, intricate rules and traditions. And again, those are orally passed on from generation to generation. Guess what? Every single laku, whether, you know, we're talking about ancestral laku, spiritual laku, some people may call them bitations, they each have their own prescriptive and sometimes very strict règlement rules, règlement tradition, règlement ways of practicing. And they take that very seriously at the local level, because for them, kind of like how I grew up, I was born and raised in the religion, and there are certain things that are, you know, absolutely important in terms of how it's passed on and structured and practice. That is an act of reverence. It's an act of duty. It's an act of responsibility. So super fascinating in that you can have hundreds and hundreds of different nuances across departments, across communes, across, you know, the various different communal sections. But then the centralization begins locally. In terms of how information is passed on. And that's how they keep, you know, kind of keep the faith alive at a local level. In future episodes, we are going to talk about some of the nuances between different community roles, prayers, offerings, rituals, and other means of like local governance in Vodou. That's going to be in a future season. But I think it's a very interesting, you know, kind of connection and component to Vodou in general. So I've said a lot in those past areas. We are going to take a break. We'll come back and continue to talk through the principles. Hope you're enjoying today's episode. Have a question, comment, or feedback? Feel free to send us an email at aguacerito@gmail.com. That's A-G-U-A cedito at gmail.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.aguacerito.com for more information about past episodes, show notes, and more. Principle 5. So, Vodou, and I think in general, African spirituality tends to be a very flexible system and highly adaptable, right? There's a very highly adaptable framework that often blends into other religious systems, such as Islam, Christianity, and Hinduism. So we typically see Vodou, not only Vodou, but also just African spirituality in general, typically being flexible, which again is a departure from maybe a westernized perspective where it may not be as flexible to merge with other religious systems. Specifically, Haitian Vodou is syncretized, I should say, with Roman Catholicism. And it wasn't kind of done just as a nice to have option. It was done as a means of survival of the faith tradition on the island of Hispaniola. So I think it's really interesting in that coming from Africa, Vodou, right, or I'm going to say Vodoun, was already had in this built-in fluidity to it that allowed the syncretism to take place in order for it to survive persecution. So I think that's, again, very, very interesting. If we go to Principle 6, and we start to think about the actual Haitian spirits, or what I call the lois, right? Each loi, they really represent complex archetypes. And we are going to take time, as I mentioned in other future episodes, other seasons, where we're going to unpack the aspect around the laws, because the laws are essentially kind of similar to ancestor veneration laws. And we don't say worshiping the laws, we say serving the laws. So I serve the spirits, right? So in terms of serving them, part of serving them accurately, depending on your bitation or your laku or your societe, is to understand the complexities of the archetypes that they embody. So for example, there's Papa Legba, and Papa Legba is considered the gatekeeper or the communicator, you know, within the Vodou cosmology. We also have Dumbala, right? So Dumbala is also another archetype, another loa, that is considered like the guardian of the cosmos and of knowledge. You have Agwe, right? Agwe is an archetype that embodies the sea, right? Is the master of the sea, is the king of the sea. So those are just some examples. And I know, like I said, we're gonna talk about these laws, these spirit mores, but the key is in this principle is that the more you understand the various different laws or spirits, and you understand your family's ancestral relationship with these spirits, that allows you to have a command of your own personal connection with them. And that is one of the heartbeats of the Vodou theology. So for what that means in like practical terms, my relationship, I just mentioned Legba, I mentioned Dumbala, I mentioned Agwe, my relationship with each of those archetypes or each of those laws may be very different from my colleagues, or maybe very different from another brother or sister, spiritual brother or sister that I have. Because again, it's all about aligning to these archetypes or these laws as they align with the ancestral lineage of your family, of your habitation, of your laku, of your societe, or your temple. One of the main goals of a Vodou practitioner is for them to learn. This is a basic, you know, if you're going on a spiritual journey, the basic knowledge you need to have is to know how you identify and harmonize and strengthen your personal relationship with the laws or the spirits that walk with you. That is one of the ultimate goals of a practitioner, right? That's a basic goal that allows you to create alignment, right? So again, this goes back to the more you know about yourself, the more you can align with the spirits that walk with you on this earthly journey. The more you know and are aware and build healthy relationships with your ancestors, the more you can harmonize and align with the spirits that walked with them. So that's a very important, like, core principle to be aware of. Principle 7. Another principle that I think that's important is kind of understanding the cyclical nature of life. In Vodou, life is sacred, yet it is cyclical. And when we say cyclical, meaning that many Vodouisans believe in reincarnation. Many Vodouisans believe that death is not the end, right? But it's actually a transformation. So we go back to this idea that our ancestors are, you know, the Lois, the Zanj, they return to Gine, right? Gine is akin to heaven. And so death is not an end. It's rather a transformation, or it's a return to Gine. And Gine is where spirits reside and souls return to rest, to find rest and renewal, which again is different from the underworld, which we had talked about, right? So when we think about life, you know, life and death is not about a place of separation, but it's actually one of connection, where we are all interconnected. So remember, within Vodou, it is an interconnected web, right? Whether we're talking about the spiritual realm, we're talking about the earthly realm, or we're talking about the underworld realm, the ancestral realm, they are all interconnected. And so death is not considered the end. You know, there's not truly an end to anything. There's just what we call a transformation. Everything is in cycles. Everything is in constant transformation from one state to another. So I think that's also an important principle when we think about how to perceive life, but also how do we perceive death. You'll have many Vodouisans are not necessarily afraid of death, right? Because they know in their heart of hearts, we don't really ever die, right? In the context that death is the finite end. We know that it is merely a transformation. And I know when we talk about some of the death spirits, when we talk about Gede and Bawo and Gunbujit, we're going to talk more about the importance of death in Vodou in a future episode. I'm looking forward to that conversation. Principle 8. I wanna talk about the soul, and in this principle. So the concept of a soul, you know, for many perspectives, many people consider the soul as like this one entity, this like linear or this unified like one entity. And the soul is in Vodou is actually not singular, but it's actually a pluralistic construct. And the soul is really what helps connect an individual across the realms. So think of a soul, instead of it being kind of one flat layer, in Vodou, the soul is considered multiple layers that reside across multiple realms. In an essay by Dr. Kira Malika Daniels, I think she says this so well. In this essay, she writes, "It is not a singular soul residing only in the body, but rather several soul selves, each with their own character, purpose, identity, and responsibility to the person. The body and the head thus function as vessels. The person's head is a minor vessel of their innermost soul, which is also called the Guo Bon Ange, or the big angel, right? Along with their guiding master or mistress spirit, which is called the Loa Metet." okay? And we're going to break all these down in a moment. A person's body is a major vessel of a multitude of souls, including the Tibon Ange, which is the little good angel, the Num, which is what we use as the soul, or Zetwal, which is like star or destiny. So for this reason, I refer to these entities of the person as head pot or body pot. Vodou cosmology beholds a person's head and body as sacred vessels of the soul. So language that links bodies and heads with pots is essential to understanding the multi-soul complex and Haitian world sense. And I think in that paragraph, she does, Dr. Kira Malika Daniels does such a nice job of really kind of articulating the complexity of an individual soul. So if we were to kind of break this down even further, and it may make sense for me to do like a tea lumière on the soul, let me know. Feel free to send me an email if you'd love for me to like go deeper into this. But when we think about the soul again, it's multiple levels. So we start with the kadav, the ko kadav, which is the Creole word for the actual physical body. So our physical body is kind of one aspect of the soul. Then we have what's called like the num, which is what the typical English translation to be soul. Then we have what's called the guo bon ange, which is guo bon ange means the big good angel. And that represents the life force, the life energy that connects us all. So think of the Guo Bo Ange as like the spark. You know how you, if you've ever heard individuals when they say that they see spirit, sometimes they say they see orbs of light. So in Vodou, that orb of light would be translated as the Guo Bo Ange, right? That's that universal life force, that really that life energy, that orb, that spark. And then the other aspects of the soul, we have the Tibon Ange. So that's the little big angel. And the Tibon Ange layer is pretty much the essence of that individual, right? So that's how, you know, I have a personality. I have like my individuality, my likes, dislikes. I have stored memories of my life experiences. So all of that happened in terms of my, you know, all the activities and how I lived or how I'm living in this earthly journey of this incarnation would reside, kind of a think of it like in a stored, almost like a stored microchip or a stored like a USB drive of my Tibon Ange. So you could think about the drive as like a Tibon Ange, and if you plug it into a computer, you would get like an understanding of my essence, my individuality, my personality, and various different memories, maybe core memories that I made in this specific incarnation. So it's really interesting. So Guo Bo Ange again is like separate. That's the layer that connects us to the divine, that life energy force. Tibon Ange is the essence of who we were in a specific incarnation. So when a person dies, these parts of the soul separate. You may have the Tibon Ange may linger and become an ancestral spirit, but then the Guo Bon Ange, the big good angel, so to speak, returns back to the divine source. So there was a separation that takes place in the soul at different parts of our incarnation. And then as part of the soul, there is also what's called the Loi Metet. So the Loi Metet are, you know, each of us, when we are born, if we are a Vodouisan, we are born with specific spirits or lois that are essentially assigned to us at birth. Think of them as almost like your guardian angel or angels, right? Plural. So from birth, you've already been assigned specific angels, or what we call Loi Metet, that are essentially the masters of your head. These are the laws that from the time you were born until the time you pass away, they are consistently with you. Many Vodouisans have more than one. So sometimes we hear a lot about, we hear about Loi Metet, and sometimes that concept, people consider it to be one. But it's, for many people, is multiple different, like, again, like guardian angels. And it's really interesting because in Ifa, if you think about Yoruba Ifa, you may hear when people talk about your head, you hear that be referred to as your Ori. So this is kind of similar where your Ori is a spirit in and of itself. In Haitian Vodou, it's Lametet, right? Or like in westernized perspectives, these are the guardian angels. So if you've ever seen an illustration where someone has, you sometimes see in secular references, people will have like a good angel and then like a little devil kind of like on their shoulder and they're talking to them. In the Haitian Vodou kind of translation, that would be kind of like a, it's a secularized translation, but it gives you a visual depiction of what a Loa Metet could be, right? Not exact, it's not an exact depiction, but it gives you a sense, it gives you like a visual, right? And then as another part of like your soul, kind of the last part of your soul I'll talk about today, is your Zetual. And Zetual, the word Zetual means star. And so if you think about like your destiny, like what your soul came to the earthly realm incarnated to the earthly realm to complete a specific mission, that mission and what you were designed, what were you, your destiny was, is considered your Zetual. That is a word, that's a term that is used by the great Wunga Max Beauvoir. That was actually how he described it, was that the Zetual is also a big part of, you know, your soul. So the concept of a soul in Haitian Vodou is very complex. And like I said, I think it personally deserves its own episode. I would love if you're interested, if you'd like for me to talk more about it. I actually would love to have another scholar that is well versed into talking about the soul, understanding the soul, have that conversation. So feel free to shoot me an email and we can make that happen in the future. We're going to take another break. And then when we come back, we will be... Chavo de Mutae, ay bobo, ay zonda bala e, ay zonda bala we do ki kote wye, ay zonda bala e, ay zonda bala we do ki kote wye, se sobo ki bene misya, o se bade ki bene misya, ma ade non upo wawe sobo wawe bade wamade kumanwe. Taki mande pou mwen, taki mande pou mwen, wadi yo mwen la vim nan men bon Dieu pou ale.
Yeah.
principle number 9. So we've already established and talked about in Haitian Vodou, everything is spirit, everything's interconnected, and everything is energy, from humans to trees to the water to all of the animals on earth. In principle number 9, you hear Vodouisans constantly use the term honor, respect. And that is really kind of a rallying cry in response to respecting the earth, right? So it's kind of an act of respect, an act of reverence, in that, you know, we as practitioners, we're able to manipulate energy. We're able to manipulate our circumstances within our lives through knowledge of prayer, through practices, through rites, through rituals, through offerings to the spirits, to the ancestors. And so being able to abide by honoring and respecting, even if certain things we may not necessarily agree on, but we honor and respect this kind of the order of things, right? And so that's an important concept. So sometimes you may hear different people having conversation and they may say honor, respect. And that's a way to like reframe us back to remembering we are all interconnected. So that is an important, that's another important anchor to consider. Principle 10. Principle 10, I want to talk a little bit about the elements. Earth, air, fire, water. Those are extremely important concepts in Vodou. And many practitioners, myself included, we spend years being able to hone our skills and our knowledge of nature. So things, for example, like the cycles of the moon, understanding energy, understanding kind of the various different natural elements, understanding the various different herbs and plants and how they're used both spiritually and medicinally, right? It is a combination of knowledge and expertise of nature combined with our practices and with strategy that essentially created the blueprint towards freedom. That's actually what this principle and having a command and understanding of the natural forces, having a command and understanding of plants and animals and the moons and the stars, that combined with strategy is really what led to the victorious Haitian Revolution. But if we go back to the elements, right? They're not just natural forces. They are literally, in my opinion, sacred manifestations of divine power. So for example, when we think about air, right? Air symbolizes not only breath, right? When we breathe, we talk, you know, in the beginning of the episode, I always start with breath, right? Air is about breath. It is about communication. It's about transformation. And each element is associated to various different laws or spirits. So air is associated with Papa Legba, right? Because Papa Legba, he opens doors, his pathways, his communication, also associated with Dambala, right? So being able to recognize these natural forces and knowing how they align across the cosmology is extremely important. Earth represents stability, fertility, and grounding. So it's tied to laws like Kuzin. So Kuzin is the law of agriculture and business, amongst other things. But knowing that earth, right, when we talk about the dirt, when we look at like items that are created with earth, right, that represents stability. Fire embodies passion. Fire is also about transformation, is about strength, it's about purification. And this element is linked to Ogu, the warrior spirit, the war spirit, right? And there's many other spirits that are also embody fire, the fire element. Water signifies intuition, healing, emotional depth. And water is ruled by spirits like Agwe and Lasilen, amongst others. There's many other laws and spirits that embody the water element, right? And if we think about spirit, right? So there's sometimes discussions about spirit being the fifth element. And spirit is like that binding. I consider spirit to be a binding force. It's like the divine energy that flows through everything and connects all the other elements. And sometimes people may use the word spirit, but sometimes they may also use the void as like a way to encapsulate or perceive spirit as an element. So having command of all of these different things combined is really an important anchor within Vodou theology. Principle number 11. So principle 11 is, I like to use the word balance, you know? Balance is a foundational concept in Vodou. And I think balance is one of the reasons why knowing your family's ancestral faith practices and their règlement is important, right? Because it allows you to maintain balance, the necessary balance you need to have optimal spiritual health and optimal well-being for yourself, for your family, for your spiritual community, for your laku, right? Practitioners in Vodou believe that maintaining harmony, right? You're going to hear words like harmony. You're going to hear words like alignment. So maintaining harmony and alignment with the physical and the spiritual worlds, between the living and the ancestors, is one of the goals of many of the work, many of the practices that are done. If a person or a family or community is experiencing a lot of hardship or illness or constant conflict, especially if it's generational, it's sometimes believed that there may need the root cause needs to be determined in order to restore balance and harmony spiritually to that lineage. That is sometimes one of the goals, right? So it's not just looking at it from a healing perspective. It's like, how can we maintain harmony and balance and well-being, right? And so the goal of achieving this like spiritual balance is one of the main roles of healing in Haitian Vodou. Balance is also reflected in Vodou cosmology in a lot of other ways. So for example, we see it reflected in the interplay between feminine and masculine energies, which are sacred yet complementary. For example, in feminine energy is often associated with like nurturing, intuition, creation, whether masculine energy is tied to protection, action, and strength. And together they form, you know, kind of a duality of life. So that's an important kind of nuance to be aware of when we talk about balance. We see this balance when we think about the incorporation of the four elements. For example, in ceremonies, practitioners may invoke the four elements to restore balance and connect with spirits. So we see that in just the gestures and the rituals and the rites. And again, that can be done differently from laku to laku, but again, you'll see that individuals are using different aspects of different elements to create that balance. We also see balance represented in the cardinal directions, right? So cardinal directions, when I say cardinal directions, I think about the east, the west, the north, and the south. Each direction holds a specific spiritual significance and correspondence to the elements. They hold significance and correspondence to the laws, to the different stages of life in a particular incarnation. So it's really fascinating. So let's say, like, for example, the east is associated with beginnings and the sunrise. So if you think the sunrise is in the east, it's a form of renewal. You think about the west represents endings, the ancestors, Gine, right, which is heaven. The north represents guidance, stability, and wisdom. And then south direction represents passion, growth, and transformation. And so in rituals, you may see Vodou practitioners orienting themselves to these different directions, aligning their intentions with the energies that they represent. This is again why centralization in locally and having règlement and following reglement becomes extremely important. When you start to think about, wow, you know, within Vodou, they are balancing across multiple realms. In Vodou, they are balancing the use of herbs and plants and animals, spiritually and medicinally. In Vodou, they are managing and balancing the four elements of the earth and the cosmos. They are balancing the cardinal directions, and they're balancing and making sure that they not only understand the laws and the spirits in terms of the complex archetypes that they represent, but what are the complex archetypes that they represent for their ancestral lineage? So when you start to kind of put these puzzles together, you start to see why centralization and understanding your family's reglement becomes extremely, extremely important to having a harmonious, balanced approach to your faith tradition. Aye, Bobo. All right. We're going to go to now Principle 12. So Principle 12, Vodou is an embodied living religion. And when I think about an embodied living religion, Vodou is a feeling, right? You feel Vodou through your breath. You feel it in your emotions. You feel it in your prayers. You feel the vibrations in your meditation. You can feel them in your song and your dance and your movement and just energy. It's typically felt. And some people have, you know, have those vibrational energies more so than others. Again, depending on, you know, their how their design, their personality, et cetera, et cetera. But you experience Vodou in your body. You experience it in your aura. You experience it in your soul. And Vodou is about action, right? So think of the concept. There's a Western phrase that says, faith without works is dead. That is very true. It holds true in Vodou as well. Because while you can pray about things and you can pray and ask for things, you must also work for it, right? You cannot expect to have a particular goal or ask for a particular item without being willing to work for it. So that is very true. Vodou is about action. But again, it goes back to not just any action, it's about the right action to achieve a balanced outcome. So being able to understand that concept is important. I emphasize that because there are some religions where people essentially they pray and they expect that their prayer is enough, right? They pray and then they expect for results. And Vodou is definitely more of like a roll your sleeves type of practice, right? You pray, but you do all these other things collectively, right? And collectively doing things is essentially manipulating energy, right? So you can pray, but you can also, let's say, do all the things that you need to do in order to achieve a particular outcome. And it, whether that is you're looking for a job, you are wanting to get promoted, right? You are wanting to start a family, right? So there's certain things you would do. Let's say if you're looking for a job, what are you going to do? You're going to update your resume, right? You're going to make sure you have the right types of interview clothes, right? You're going to make sure that you connect with your references so that if they get a phone call, they're ready to like give a great recommendation for you, right? So you're going to do all these steps. You're going to send the follow-up thank you emails after your interview, right? So in addition to praying, right, for a certain ideal job or a certain like salary or whatever you're looking for, you do all these other steps in order to ensure that your prayer is met with success through action. So that concept is extremely important in that being an embodied living religion, there's also a level of intentionality that you must live in order for you to see the outcomes that you're seeking to achieve. Principle number 13. Vodou is also about relationality. And so I know we've talked about the fact that Vodou is all about being interconnected, right? And in the book African Religions by M.L. Rusak, he has a really great statement. In that book, he says, it's about the nature of the universe and its relationship to humanity. The universe is viewed as a complex and interconnected system to which all things are linked and dependent on each other. And I think that is very true of Vodou. So relationality in Vodou is also, I feel like we've been talking about this, but I want to make it more explicit. It's about your direct connection to the divine laws, to your ancestors and your spiritual community. And because of this concept, Vodou emphasizes community, it emphasizes respect, it emphasizes reciprocity, right? So, for example, for some people, their ancestral community is the same as their spiritual community, right? And for others, it is different. So it's really interesting in that knowing that you are not on a lone island, right? You're not kind of, you're not just living for yourself, right? Vodou is about giving and getting, right? It's about you giving and offering and being able to receive as well. And it's, we see that in a very real way with the laws. When we communicate with the laws, we don't just communicate and then we don't hear anything. There's actually real connection back, right? And it happens in an earthly realm way that we can comprehend as humans. So for example, you sometimes will get communications with the law through dreams. You sometimes will have communications with the laws through someone being mounted. We're going to talk about mounting and possession in the future, but that's when an actual law or spirit enters the body of a human being and they communicate directly with individuals. So that's sometimes a form of communication. Another form of communication could be through divination. Another form of communication can be signs. You can have visions. You can have day-to-day just synchronicities take place, right? So we're going to talk about mounting and possession and divination. We're going to talk about that in the future. But I think it's important to understand that relationality doesn't just stop with human to human connection. We see that relationality, that reciprocity take place human to divinity, divinity to human, right? And there's like a give and get that takes place. Relationality through ongoing contact with each other, ongoing contact with our divine, ongoing contact with our ancestors, through these various different communication channels. Super, super important to realize. We're almost there. We're almost at the end here. So principle 14, understanding the concept of time in Vodou is also different. Unlike the Gregorian calendar, where there is a specific emphasis on like seconds and, you know, X amount of seconds equals an hour, and then there's 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week, and there's this like really prescribed measurement of time, in Vodou, it's a lot more fluid and a lot more cyclical. So we see time in Vodou is kind of measured by life milestones, family milestones, ancestral milestones, is measured by seasons of life. It's measured by rituals. We may see elements of nature that's being measured. So when we think about like astrology, while astrology is not specifically called out, there are aspects in terms of planetary alignments and different types of cosmic movements that do align with the cyclical nature of Vodou. So I think it's important that to understand that our concept of time, let's say in the West, is very different than the concept of time in Vodou. And there's actually a saying that I always hear elders say, is that in Guinea is never in a rush, and neither should you be in a rush, right? Because remember, we are continuing, so death is not the end, right? There's an ongoing cycle. And because the times are different, they're measured differently. It is always wise. Elders always say it's wise to never be in a rush. the goal of moving from one angle to the next is how can we do so in a way that maintains harmony and balance? And understanding that we should take our time when seeking to connect with our laws, when seeking to connect with our ancestors, with understanding decisions that we're trying to make in our lives and how it affects not only our us and our lives, how it affects our spiritual community, how in some cases it affects our lineage. Because each of us, as we are making decisions and we're living this human experience, even though we kind of are one body, we have to remind ourselves that we are a summation of our ancestors. So any decisions that we make, they not only impact our ancestors that's come before us, because they're going to experience that, whatever, whether be it positive or negative, it's also going to affect the generations ahead, the generations that are yet to come. So it's important, again, that's that interweb. So it's important that we take the weight of that and we take it seriously, especially if there are specific, like, you know, different decisions, and making sure we make decisions with the right elder, the guidance of elders, with the right, you know, guidance of our laws, with the right guidance of our ancestors. So understanding that, you know, you can't just wake up and want to do something, right? We sometimes have to take time. We have to consult the laws. We have to consult our elders. We have to hear from our ancestors. And sometimes we get an answer immediately and sometimes we do not. And it goes back to honor and respect, right? We have to wait until the time is right. And so being mindful of that is extremely important in Vodou. And Principle 15, one last yet very important belief principle of Vodou practitioners. Vodou is a calling. I'm going to repeat that one more time because that's the last, but it's one of the most important ones. Vodou is a calling. Individuals are called to this faith, not the other way around. While there may be practices and faith traditions that go out and seek to recruit certain individuals and that sort of thing, that is not the way of Vodou is a calling. People are called to this faith. You do not choose the laws. The laws, the spirits, they choose you. Very, very important to understand, okay? So there's a strong likelihood that the law, you know, there's a strong likelihood that the laws are interested in connecting with you more. If you have this strong urge, this strong desire, or even just a curiosity to learn more, if you're listening to this podcast, there's a likelihood, it may not always be the case, but there is a strong likelihood that the laws are interested in connecting with you in some way. While some people are called to serve the spirits or serve the laws as a duty to their bloodline, others may be called to Vodou as a path for their life, whether they are of Haitian descent or not. And I know for a future conversation, I've had discussions in class about insiders and outsiders in African indigenous religions and ATRs. I would love to have a conversation about that with other scholars. So that's probably gonna be a separate episode. But as in terms of my worldview, some people are called to Vodou because it's in their bloodline, and others are called and sometimes they are not even of Haitian descent, right? And in Vodou, those that are called, they may have a role in the tradition for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Only God and only the laws know the grand cosmic plan, right? But it's important to understand that Vodou is a calling, okay? So each person's calling in Vodou is different. So I think it's one of those things. It's not a tradition where, oh, I see such and such is practicing this way, I'm going to practice the way they practice. No. That's not how it's done, right? It's more of how can we understand and connect with ourselves. So starting a path on Vodou is really starting to sit with yourself. Understanding yourself more, understanding your ancestors, your lineage more, and connecting from within, that really gets you the answers that you may seek. All right. So we had a long conversation. This was a long conversation today, but I hope it brought more understanding. I feel like with every episode, we're going to keep going deeper and deeper into this conversation. Vodou, again, is a living, breathing system of spirituality that honors the sacredness of life. It honors the wisdom of our ancestors, and it honors the interconnectedness of all things, all living things. I find that within Vodou, the cosmology is all about balance, transformation, and liberation. And the more that individuals understand and embody these principles, the more they become acutely aware of how much beauty and how much healing this practice can bring to their lives. That's it for today's episode. Again, I hope you learned a ton. As with every episode, we are going to close in prayer. Thank you to the Almighty Creator, source of all life and breath. Thank you to all the divine saints, spirits, and protectors who have walked with us in this sacred gathering. Thank you to the ancestral spirits in the West, East, North, and South. May your presence continue to guide us as we move forward. Thank you to the spirits of earth, water, fire, and air, both known and unknown, who sustain balance in every moment. Thank you to the ancestors of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, and our great-grandparents, whose wisdom and sacrifices have paved the way for our existence. Thank you to all of our ancestors, near and far. Thank you for encircling us with your love, your strength, and your internal guidance. We give gratitude for the unity we have shared and for the wisdom that has been revealed in this moment. We release ourselves into the world with your blessings, asking for your continued protection and guidance as we walk our path. We honor the thread that connects us all as children of this earthly realm and as spiritual beings beyond it. May the light of wisdom, the power of courage, and the bond of love remain with us as we part ways. May our hearts remain open, our minds remain clear, and our spirits remain strong to continue learning, growing, and thriving together. We affirm that all that is needed has been received. All that is learned will be unfolded, and all that is shared will bear fruit in time. Ai bobo, ago ago, bo, asao, alaso, awoshenago, jabodo, afutai, bilolo, swakongo, kwa, sembo. Thank you. Thank you.
souke, Haïti, pays moins, pour misère passé, nous pas j'oublie, Haïti, pays moins.
For joining us on the Aguacerito podcast show. Together we honor our ancestors, embrace the beauty of Vodou, and step boldly toward liberation. If this episode resonated with you, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. It helps us amplify the spirit of Haitian Vodou even further. Join us next week as we continue this journey to connect, inspire, and uplift. Until then, walk boldly with your spirits, and remember, the Aguacerito Show is not just a podcast. It is a vibration, a celebration, a path to freedom.